Good morning, noon, or night, everyone. This is Richard Page of the Page School of Music. It is Monday, October 9th, 2017. Throughout this week, we're going to be talking about starting music, what it's like, the challenges, the pitfalls, the struggles, all of the hard things. We're going to try to relate it to starting some other things as well. Maybe some tips, some tricks, some hints. I'm going to see if I can get some musicians to talk about, their concepts of starting, some things that help them out, different stuff like that. So hopefully that can materialize and hopefully that'll help you guys out. Feel free to call in at any time. I will do my best to insert the call-ins at the end of the day. So that it can be all included in the episode and that type of thing. But without further ado, let's jump into it. So why the heck would you ever want to become a musician? I think that's a very solid question. That every person should definitely answer for themselves. Especially once you start to, you know, progress and you start to try to do more, and things get a little bit tougher, you've got to have a solid answer for yourself. Even if it's just, I just really want to, you know, I think that there are good answers and I think there are bad answers. I mean, some people believe, oh, there's no bad answer. I believe there are bad answers. I think there are bad reasons to want to become a musician, to seem like the smartest or most intelligent person around, or, you know, to prove that you're a genius, or to, like, that. Basically anything that has to do with proving your supremacy or stoking your ego to its maximum, these are some pretty bad reasons, because music will defeat you, especially if you're getting better at it. Music will defeat you. Not other musicians, though that probably will happen too, but music will defeat you. So you got to figure out why. Why music? And no, it doesn't have to be a concrete thing, and It can expand and it can evolve, and I know for me it's changed with time. You know, I started doing music just because it looked super fun to me. You know, I saw four world-renowned guitar players, you know, who played very, very different styles, just get together and jam. And that to me was all the motivation that I needed to want to pursue music. That joy, that freedom of expression, and the ability to really converse without words, with people at a high level was something that, I don't know, it was just something that really enticed me. So that was my reason. You know, that was the reason why I got into music, and that I spent all these hours, you know, practicing scales and learning, you know, music theory and jazz and all that stuff. But for other people, it's going to be different. You know, some people, they just want to be in a really, really great band. You know, there were bands that they really enjoyed when they were younger, or heck, when they were older. And you know, there's just something about the energy, about the excitement, about the force behind being in an ensemble or a group like that. So I think before you move any further, you should kind of have a feel for why you want to do it, you know? You don't have to want to become a professional. You don't have to want to, you know, be some musical genius. You just have to kind of know what you want to do. Because as we progress throughout this week, you'll start to see how intense learning music can be, and pursuing it professionally or even just as a hobbyist, how quickly things escalate in the musical arena. So it's kind of good to have a general feel for what you want to get out of music. I know this is a more, cerebral approach than just picking up an instrument and playing, but I'm telling you, it's going to save you a lot of time, and it's going to save you a heck of a lot of money. Oh, it's going to save you a ton of money. So yeah, that's the first thing. Why the heck would you ever want to start music? So once you figure out why the heck, now you got to figure out how the heck. There are a few questions that develop naturally. And all these things, I mean, I'm talking through them and it sounds rather cerebral. Like, why the heck would you ever talk about this stuff? Well, it's because this stuff is never talked about. And when you're trying to get into music, especially on your own, you don't know what the heck you're doing, and there's no one really coaching you on how to do it. So I figured I'd just talk through this stuff. So how the heck you're gonna pull it off? You gotta figure out how you're gonna acquire an instrument, right? What instrument you're actually gonna acquire and how you're gonna get it. And how the heck you're gonna learn it. Those are your two next concerns after you've made up in your heart and soul that you want to play music, whether it be just to write your own tunes or just so you can, play along to your favorite songs, or whether you want to, go on some international tour or something like that, be some hit sensation, whatever the case may be. Once you figure that out, the next things you're gonna have to figure out are how the heck you're gonna get an instrument and how you're gonna learn the instrument. Now, these are the two biggest barriers of entry into music. I'll tell you that right now. Besides practice and self-discipline, these are the things that keep people from becoming musicians. And this is, excuse me, man, I'm sorry. This is what the Page School of Music is really hoping to chip away at piece by piece. But until then, just know that these are the biggest barriers, because the root to both of them is money, right? Acquiring an instrument, unless it's a really cheap and oftentimes garbage instrument, you're looking to pay over $100. For some people, that's nothing, but for a lot of people, a lot of working people with bills and things like that, that's a lot of commitment, especially to something that a lot of people starting out are just hobbyists, who later, if they're able to persist, who are later able to turn into professionals. But until then, a lot of times you're stuck, in these lower range instruments. But that's the first thing. So you got to figure out if it's something that you really want to do, you've got to get the money for that. But then, secondly, you've got to figure out how you're going to learn. Are you going to be self-taught, or are you going to find some institution or somebody who's able to teach you? Now, typically speaking, there is no institution that will teach you. If you're starting out, there's nowhere for you to learn. You're only going to be able to be taught by some individual instructor or some instructor with his or her own, quote, music studio. So let's say I want to learn how to play the guitar, or how to play the ukulele or something like that. There is no music school currently that is going to teach me how to play those things. I'm gonna have to go to someone with a guitar studio who, or some independent individual instructor who teaches guitar or ukulele, and I'm gonna have to learn from them. This again is the reason why Paid School of Music exists, because there's currently, outside of Paid School of Music and what it's attempting to accomplish, there's no institution where currently non-musical people can go to become musical people. So those are your two largest hurdles. Those are things that you have to figure out. There are pluses and minuses, with both being self-taught and being formally taught. And I'll get into that in the next bit. Before I go on any further, I just want to apologize in advance if I get a little amped about this topic of self-taught versus being formally taught. This is something that I feel very passionately about, and I've had some very interesting conversations, which I'm sure I'll go on to talk about as this, progresses. But I figured I would go ahead in advance. I'll try to. I try to keep myself relatively contained, but who knows what the future holds. But I figured I'd just throw this out there ahead of time. Yeah, back to our regularly scheduled content. So the decision between going through the self-taught method or being formally taught is usually an instinctual choice. Like, it's not something that you really ever think so much about. It's something that you've already kind of decided in your mind. And really, it's decided on very simple factors. Typically, time and money. Those are really what your underlying decision makers are for whether or not you want to go the self teaching route or the formal teaching route. Oh man. Like I said, there are a lot of pluses and minuses to both. But just as a general overview, the beauty of being self-taught is that you have the advantage of both money and time. Right? You get to keep your money. And you get to work on your own time. Of course, that's the minus of being formally taught, right? Is that you have to spend your money and you're on someone else's time. So you can't, knock on your teacher's door at 1 o'clock in the morning because you're feeling some inspiration and you want to practice or you want to get a lesson in. Right, that's something that you can't really do. I don't know, unless you got some really cool people around. A real downside to being self-taught is a lot of times you have to verify, and re-verify all of your sources of information. Versus being formally taught, typically speaking, now there are some pretty bummy teachers out there that shouldn't be teachers, but those people notwithstanding, because I'll get to that after this. Typically, if your teacher is teaching you something, it's going to be the right thing, or it's going to be a right thing. So you can take their word for it and just do what they say and trust that they're teaching you proper technique and form and all these different types of things. So that's a plus. Another plus along with that is you learn terminology and you learn certain things that, in all honesty, you just never know 100% when you learn on your own. There are a lot of things that you come across and you don't really know if it's real or not. No matter how many people on the internet or in random books or articles that you read say something, you don't really know if it's real or not until you see in a real world application in different groups and stuff like that, versus if a teacher tells you, like I said, for the most part, you can trust it. Now, the big downside to being formally taught, quote, formally taught, or going to somebody is that you're subject a lot of times to their own style. Once again, unless you found a really star teacher, which they do exist, a lot of times you're just subject to whatever style that this person is choosing to teach you in. And it may not necessarily even be the right thing, and it may not even necessarily be helpful to what you're trying to do. And this is a lot of times the problems that people have with music teachers and with these music studios. They're not being taught how to be musicians. They're being taught how to be, a rock guitar player, or they're taught how to be a classical guitar player. They're not being taught how to be a guitar player, right? So that guitar player can go on to do whatever it is that they want to do, whether it be jazz or whether it be funk or whether it be a studio or session musician or a touring musician, things like that. So that's a downside there. I'll be right back. Now, as I alluded to earlier, the biggest killer outside of the two prohibiting, factors or barriers of entry into music, acquiring an instrument and acquiring teaching, the biggest killer of possible musicians is self-discipline. At the end of the day, you're wasting both your money and your time, whether you're self-teaching or you're being formally taught, if you have no self-discipline. But it kills you even worse when you're being formally taught and you can't even get yourself to practice. Right? It's one thing to say, I'm going to teach myself the guitar, and you get a little cheap guitar at a pawn shop for like $65 or $45 or something like that. You try to learn some songs or whatever the case may be. You get frustrated and then you just give up. And your guitar just starts collecting dust. And it's another to get the guitar and say, I want to be formally taught, I want to learn proper technique, and I want to do all these things. And then to start paying $200 a month for a lesson a week, and you're making zero progress because you're not taking the time to practice outside of those lesson times. I'm telling you, it's a very frustrating thing because I've been on both sides. The way that I learned guitar fundamentally, what I was self-taught. Basically, at this point now it's 90% of what I know, but about a year ago, 100% of what I knew, I was self-taught. And only since last year, once re-entering college, did I start taking lessons? That was like my first formal individual private lesson on the guitar, like ever. It was very interesting for me. So I've been on both sides of the spectrum, and this is the thing that rings true. No, you don't have to practice for hours upon hours a day. As a matter of fact, that'll kill your growth. We'll talk about practice strategies later on in the week, probably on Wednesday. I'll see if I can get, like I said, some musicians to chime in. I think that'd be really helpful. But no one is saying for you to be good or decent or even just get better at your instrument that, you gotta be super serious and focused and practice like 5 hours a day. No, just make sure that at least bare minimum, you're touching your instrument. But a lot of times people, they won't even do that. And if you won't even do that, you're wasting your time. It doesn't matter which way, you're looking at it, whether you're going the self-taught route or the formally taught route, you're burning, you're burning through your own time and your own money. But especially if you're being formally taught, I know I sure as heck cannot waste $200 a month on something that I'm not even really all that serious about. So just remember that as well, because it you can have the best teacher in the world, but if you're a terrible student, I mean, come on, you're not gonna get anything from it. So self-discipline is a big key. Now getting on to my own personal dealings with the self-taught side and the formally taught side. So to kind of fast track this, because I know I can talk forever, my self teaching, the extent of my self teaching, I started the guitar a little bit before I saw those four guitar players that really inspired me to pursue music. I was in a quote guitar class at my high school. It was called Music Elements. And at that time, it was the last year that that teacher was going to be at that school. He was getting a better gig somewhere else. So the second semester, he didn't care. So there was no formal teaching, no anything. He just let us do what we wanted. Even if we wanted to just sit there and watch videos on our phones. So that was pretty interesting. But anyway, when I saw those four guitar players, one of them, his name was Lulo Reinhardt. Yes, of the famous Django Reinhardt clan. And he talked about gypsy jazz, and I was like, "What the heck is that?" So I did a whole bunch of research into that. Watched a whole bunch of videos on YouTube. So I got into gypsy jazz. I learned music theory because in order to improvise, and the way that they were, I needed to understand that stuff. I felt that there was no other way for me to approach it. Especially they were doing all types of crazy things. And then from there, I got into jazz, like swing and straight ahead jazz. And I acquainted myself with the repertoire and how to read chords, and how to read lead sheets and stuff like that, and how to accompany or comp, as they say, and all that stuff. And yeah, just continued on from there. How I went about doing this, I've never been a person to just listen to one thing that one person says 100%. I listen to them, I respect what they say, regardless of who they are, because I believe for the most part, most people at least have a smidgen of truth in what they're saying, even if 99% of the rest of what they said was bull. So I listened and watched a lot of stuff, like hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of material on YouTube about the same exact concepts. And that's the thing, because I didn't know who's real and who's fake, because I'm new to this quote language. I don't know if what they're telling me is true or if it's not. So I had to see what other speakers of the language said. And if they were using the same terminology and if they were talking about things in the same way. So then through watching hundreds of things, then I could see what were the points of overlap, what were the cross sections, and those were the things that I took to be true. And those are the things that I ran with. So that was the way that I attained information, and the way that I locked it down was I was always playing. So as soon as I was learning something new, I was playing it, and I was applying it. I would stop things right in the middle, and I would try to play it. And I was just playing all the time. And my grades suffered in school tremendously because I wasn't doing any of my homework. All I was doing was learning about the guitar and learning how to improvise and, practicing soloing and phrasing and accompanying and all this other type of stuff. So my method of self-teaching was very involved and very thorough. And I started writing a lot of material for myself. And that was my approach. So I became my own teacher by way of other teachers, and I created the perfect teacher, in a way. So that's my experience with self-teaching. Now, as far as being formally taught, I've been getting formal training in both the guitar, classical guitar, and piano, classical piano. And that started last year. It started last year. I did it for 3 months, and then I had to take time away from school, and then I came back to school, this year. And I've been back at that for, I think, a little over a month now. So my experience with being self, or sorry, with being formally trained is very, very brief. But there are a lot of things I've gained from formal training. As I stated earlier, for the most part, especially if you don't, well, especially if you know that you have a good teacher, a teacher who knows what they're talking about, then you can trust everything that they say. And what that means is I can kind of blindly listen to everything that they say and just trust that they know the end goal. And all I have to do is work through the small, minute chunks that they give me. And that at the end of all of it, it'll come together to something great. And that's definitely been my experience. A real challenge is to be motivated, is to be motivated when you're not in that lesson. Like I said, self-discipline is key because you can have, these world-renowned, instructors and still be less than mediocre, because you don't listen to any of the advice that they give you. And that's really the biggest thing is the advice. There are little tips and tricks and hints and tools that they'll give you that you can, in all honesty, never learn on your own, right? These things, certain things you'll only be able to get through external sources. We don't like thinking that way because we like thinking that, oh, everything comes from within. We're in that day and age, everything comes from within. But it's not true. You weren't born speaking whatever language that you speak now. And same goes for a lot of other things, right? And that's the thing that I've noticed. There's just certain concepts and certain ways of thinking that because you are you, you would never think of them. And that's the real beauty of being formally trained. Another thing as well is that it takes you a whole lot less time to learn things because you're not scouring the globe trying to find a system of learning something or trying to verify whether or not this is true or that's true. When you're being self-taught, you essentially have to create 10 steps, 10 micro steps just to make one step, right? So in the time that it would take you to, walk up a flight of stairs. Oh man, that was a cool analogy, but I kind of just blanked on it. But essentially, it takes you a whole lot less time to learn when you're being formally taught versus being self-taught, because when you're being self-taught, you have to come up with your own curriculum, your own lesson plan, and you're learning it as you go because you have no idea what the end goal is, and you definitely have no idea how to get there. So you're hobbling together your walkway as you walk. Versus when you're being formally taught, a lot of these people, especially if they're highly trained, they know exactly what they're doing, exactly where you need to go, and they know exactly how you need to get there. And there may be some modifications that they make, for every individual student along the way, but there is a methodology. And so because of that, there is no hesitation. Boom, boom, boom. Everything is right there. And if you're being self-disciplined and practicing outside of lesson times, then you'll make progress in no time for sure. Now, there's a bit of controversy between self-taught musicianship and formally taught musicianship. And this is at the point where I start to get a little bit heated, but I will try to keep myself a bit contained. There's a big. There's a big group of people out in professional musician land that believe that self-taught musicianship is not musicianship at all, or that self-taught musicianship is a lacking musicianship, and that a self-taught musician is one of a low caliber, and of low musical intelligence. Now, obviously, especially since I've stated my own history, I take very strong personal offense to this, because I'm proof of otherwise, but also because of the fact that there are, as I stated earlier, barriers of entry, as it comes to being taught, as it comes to being a musician, excuse me. And the biggest thing is being taught, and the biggest part of being taught is money. And a lot of people cannot be taught because the cost of money is too high, and a lot of people are not directed in the way of good resources, good musical resources, where they can learn, where they feel confident in what they're learning. This is a debate that I've gotten into numerous times, with a lot of very how do I say, high-minded musicians, that believe that you can never become great, that there's a limit to your musical ability as a self-taught musician, and that a formally trained musician has absolutely no limit, right? There's no limitation, there's no barrier on the formally taught musician, and that they will always be better, and that they will always be yeah, they will always be the best. I'm very curious about what you out there think about that. Call in, let us know what you think about being self-taught versus being formally taught. Like I said, personally, I think that there are limitations to both, and I think that the biggest limit is self-discipline. That's the biggest limitation. Because you can be self-taught and be the best player in the world, and know all types of things about music that a formally taught musician has no clue about. And to be quite honest with you, and this may stir some things, but in my time of being a musician, when I've encountered formally taught musicians, I have bested them. That's typically the way that it goes, right? Because you have someone who is in a rigid, regimented environment, but if you take them outside of that environment, they can't function. Same way a lot of musicians cannot improvise, especially a lot of classically trained musicians. They cannot improvise, right? Because the focus is not on improvisation. It's on being able to recite music, right? Being able to see something and play it. But I've digressed. So that's a bit of the controversy. So understand now, if you're a self-taught musician, understand when you go into certain musical circles, understand that you may get some dirty looks. This is something that no one ever told me. This is something that I just encountered. Understand that people will expect less of you, and a lot of times they will look down on you. But anyway, so that's a little bit of the controversy between self-taught and formally taught. So as a wrap up, what'll happen naturally, you'll answer these two questions. The first question is, why the heck do you even want to get into music in the first place? Whatever your motivation for getting into music, whether it's, to write really great music or to be able to just have fun and play with friends. That's the first thing you kind of figure out. The second thing that you figure out is how the heck you're actually going to do it. And what this entails is how you're going to get your instrument, and how you're going to learn. Now, the way that you learn, I mean, there's being self-taught, there's teaching yourself, and then there's being formally trained, right? Where you go to someone else, it can be a teacher, or it can be some teacher shoot, now I forget the term for it. Oh, at a music studio or something like that. Shoot, it could be from your cousin, or your brother or your sister, or your aunt, whoever the case may be. Those are your two options, being self-taught or being trained by someone else. And ultimately, the thing to understand is it all will take self-discipline. And as we go on through the segments throughout the week on Wednesday and Friday, we'll talk some more, about different, aspects of getting into music, getting equipment or, teaching yourself, just different tips, different tricks. And hopefully, like I said, I'll be able to wrestle some musicians in here, to give their take on everything, how they started and that type of thing. Maybe do some interviews, maybe get some quick tips from them, some insights, and that type of thing. But yeah, that's the beginning of getting into music. It's not really that difficult. And as a matter of fact, it's very instinctual. I know I talked through everything. I talked through each step, but this stuff will happen. There's snap decisions that you don't even really think about. It's more subconscious than anything else, but I wanted to talk about them and talk through them because it just doesn't happen. No one talks about this stuff, and I wish someone could have talked me through a lot of these things. It would have saved me a whole lot of time, I tell you that. And I think this will save a lot of other people time as well. And hopefully get them to start thinking about a couple things. And that bit about, people's perception of you if you are a self-taught musician, that's a very real thing. A lot of people think that in the music community, everyone's cool and everyone's, really open and, lovey-dovey and stuff. And it's just not true. It's just not true. Some people are jerks, for no reason other than to just be jerks. Some people are elitists and they're snobs, and they look down on you because of, the type of instrument that you have, excuse me, or certain techniques that you're using, or a certain approach to a piece of music, or a certain type of way that you improvise, or whatever the case may be in that area, you encounter a lot of people that are not very cool people. Especially if you're playing in more places than outside of your room or outside of your house, you know, if you're playing in some type of ensemble or you know, something like that. So just be aware of that. I really want to take this week to, you know, privy you guys to things that people don't really think about, you know. They just think about what type of instrument to get or, you know, just stuff like that. What scales should I learn? You know, there are more aspects to music than that. But I promise we'll get into that stuff too. At any rate, I've had a good time talking my head off. Hopefully, you all have enjoyed this as well. Hopefully throughout the week, I'll get some other voices in as well. That'll be really cool. But until then, I'll see you guys on Wednesday around the same time. Yeah, I still haven't figured out how to end these things. But I'll talk to you guys later.